He got our taskmaster. You know what the Bible says? So, am I on? Yeah, I'm on. Anyone else? Anyone else need a handout? We're going to be studying the book of Micah this morning, just like your handout says. But first, I want to look at a passage in 1 Peter. We'll go there after we pray. In your bulletin, it just has one listed, and that's Darla Edwards. Remember Darla Edwards? I took a fall last Monday. And she has surgery and recovered. She's recovering. Any others? Any others that we should remember in prayer? If you come in late, you don't get one. Bob, will you hand those out for me, please? Bob will see that you get one. I think Jim needs one, and Mary needs one. Marcia. Her mom? Okay. Friend of ours, Marcia Nix, her mother, needs our prayers. Okay. All right, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for this day and for this time. We pray, Lord, that you would bless our study. Help us to have a good understanding of the book of Micah, as well as all the prophets. We pray, Lord, for those who need your healing hand this morning. We especially pray for Darla Edwards and for Ryan as well, who's still recovering. We pray for Marcia Nix's mother and that you be with her at this time. We ask, Lord, that you be with all of us. And we thank you for the blessings that you have given us. Pray, Lord, that you be with our children and our grandchildren in their study this morning. We pray, Lord, that you be with the works that we support. Lord, we ask that you forgive us where we fail you. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as I said, we're going to be in the book of Micah. But before we go there, I want to look at a passage in 1 Peter. And it's up on the slide. 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12. Peter says, concerning this salvation, the prophets, who we've been studying, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Okay, so what did Peter say there? The prophets foretold the things that were being spoken by the apostles. Is that not what he's saying? Okay. And now it's been revealed to the prophets, to the apostles. It's been revealed to the apostles, and the apostles are now speaking it to you. But long before the apostles, the prophets predicted, prophesied. Did they know what they were prophesying about? No. Peter says as much. They didn't know, but they did prophesy it. Okay. Knew what the Lord told them to predict. Okay. And we're going to see in Micah that he says quite a bit about the coming of the Messiah. Four different times he mentions, he doesn't come out and say Christ. He just tells of a glorious time coming. And he even predicts where Christ will be born. All right, let's go to Micah now. Micah, he prophesies about the same time as Hosea and Amos. But remember, Hosea and Amos, they prophesied to the north kingdom. Micah, he prophesies to the southern kingdom. If I can get this thing to working. Okay. Amos and Hosea, they prophesied to this blue area. Samaria was their capital. Amos, he's going to prophesy to Judah. Most of his message is to Judah, this brown area, which is known as the southern kingdom. And he comes from an area that's over here near Philistia, that dark brown area. But it was in the lighter brown. Okay. And notice where Jerusalem is. Okay, do we know much about Micah? No, not really. We know where he's from a town called Moresheth Gath, which was southwest of Jerusalem, near Philistia. He was a contemporary of Isaiah. That is, he prophesied about the same time as Isaiah. We know that from the kings that he mentions in chapter 1, verse 1. Occupation, we don't know what he did for a living. Many suspect that he was either a farmer or a shepherd, but that's not known for sure. He seemed to have a very fearless spirit, though. He attacks the corruption of the rich and the ruling class, speaks out against them with a very fierce spirit. And Micah chapter 3, verse 8 tells us of this fearless spirit. It says, "But truly I am full of the power of the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sin." Okay. As I said earlier, he preached about the same time as Isaiah. Their message was very similar. But Micah was more... Well, you could tell he's more like the poor people. Whereas Isaiah, He came from Jerusalem, and he was around priests quite a bit. So his writings are somewhat different, but the message was the same. Judah must change. Judah must repent. Otherwise, face the judgment. You'll see that in both. You would see that in Isaiah if we were to study Isaiah. The date, let me get up to my slide here, okay? Prophesied in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, three different kings. Of those three, two of them were good kings. Jotham and Hezekiah were good. Ahaz, not so good. In fact, he was a very evil king. Ahaz is very evil. Okay. And if you want to read more about those kings, you can go to 2 Kings chapter 17 through 20. If you want to read more about them. And because of we know approximately when those kings were in power, that's how we know the date. 735 to 700 B.C. Okay, during the time that Micah prophesies, Judah was under constant peril, constant terror from Assyria. Okay, what did Assyria do to the northern kingdom? They conquered it, right? Studied that under Hosea. Okay, they conquered it. They carried away the people into captivity. Does he do that? Do they do that to Judah? No, no. Judah is spared at this time. Eventually, Babylon will come. We know that from history. But not at this time. Not, Judah is not captured and not conquered as was the northern kingdom. Okay. We can say that Micah and Isaiah intervened, as well as did their king. Hezekiah was a good king, and he prayed frequently to the Lord. He did what the Lord, he was a God-fearing king. Okay? But not all the people of Judah were God-fearing. In fact, most of them were not. And that's why Micah makes this message to the people of Judah. Okay, Micah had three purposes. First message, God is holy and just. God is holy and just. And therefore, he must bring judgment to the people of Judah. They have pretended to be worshiping God, pretended to be servants of God, but they were not. Because they did not observe what God had taught them in his covenant. Did not treat people well. Did not walk humbly with God. They only did the sacrifices. Observed the sacrifices. Second, more important, and just as important, shouldn't say more important, but the second message, just as important, was the coming of the Messiah. You'll see that quite frequently in Micah's book. And then third was his ethical teaching. And that is summed up by Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Micah said that, and it was a very important message. And throughout his book, you'll see that message. Okay, questions about Micah? questions or comments about Micah? Okay, go to chapter 1. Chapter 1 tells us when he prophesies. Chapter 1 and verse 1. In the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And then verse 2, we'll read 2 through 7, tells of the coming judgment. Okay. Chapter 1, verses 2 through 7. Hear, all ye peoples. Listen, O earth, and all that is in it. That the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For the Lord is coming out of his place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. The mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will split like wax before the fire, like waters poured down a steep place. All this is for the transgression of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Therefore I will make Samaria a heap of ruins in the field, places for planting a vineyard. I will pour down her stones into valleys, and I will uncover her foundations. All her carved images shall be beaten to pieces, and all her pays of harlot shall be burned with the fire. All her idols I will lay desolate, for she gathered it from the pay of a harlot, and they shall return to the pay of a harlot. Okay, stop there. Remember, Samaria was the capital city of the northern kingdom, right? Okay. So when he says Samaria, he's talking about the northern kingdom. Okay. Talking about Israel. But he says Jacob. What are the transgressions of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? What does he mean by that? Same thing that's happening in Samaria is happening in Jacob's land or Judah. Okay. Who are the descendants of Jacob? Who are the descendants of Jacob? Judah and Israel? Yeah. Okay. So when he said Jacob, he meant all of Judah and all of Israel, didn't he? Their descendants. Okay. I know it's when you read it, it's not always clear who he's speaking to, but the people, they knew what he meant by this. When he said Jacob, they knew that they were talking about them. They understood that. And when they said Samaria, they knew that he was talking about the northern kingdom. People that were in that land. Okay. And so he's saying that the same thing that Israel is guilty of, same thing that the northern kingdom is guilty of, you are guilty of as well. You have been committing these same sins. You have been following idols. You have been mistreating the poor. We'll see that in a little while. All your carved images, they're going to be beaten down. And when he talks about a harlot, what's he talking about there? Okay. So they worshiped just like they were. They left the Lord as a harlot would leave her lover or leave her husband. Okay. So they were like a harlot serving a different God, serving a false God. So they were going to face the same punishment as did the northern kingdom. It just comes at a later time. Yes?
You know, another thing that took the eye off of them, what it said, let the Lord God be with you. I wouldn't want that.
No. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's good. Where did you see that at? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Let's go on now. Now, how is Micah going to feel about this? Does Micah rejoice? No, the answer is no. He delivers the message, but he's not happy about it. Notice in verse 8, his response to it. Therefore I will wail and howl. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the jackals and a mourning like the ostriches. For her wounds are incurable. For it has come to Judah. It has come to the gate of my people, Jerusalem. Okay. Micah was going to be in mourning when it comes. All that about being stripped and naked, that just meant he took off his outer garment, which was a practice for those in mourning. So he was just as upset about it as if it had happened to him. Now, in verses 10 through 15, he makes a play on words, and I'll show you what that's all about. Notice in your Bible it says, tell it not in Gath. Okay. Gath is similar to the Hebrew word for tell. Okay. Very next one it says, weep not at all in Beth Ephra. Roll yourself in the dust. Beth Ephra means house of dust. Okay, you see what he's doing. The things that he speaks about what's going to happen, he makes a play on words for the name of that town. Okay? And he does that with several cities in Judah. Next one, pass by naked shame, ye inhabitants of Shephar. Shephar means fair, beautiful, pleasant. Zanan, the inhabitants of Zanan, does not go out. Zanan means come out. Okay. Again, the people of Judah, they understood this. We would have to know Hebrew to understand how he was making a play on the words. And he does that with several cities from 10 through 15. And notice Jerusalem. He says, but disaster comes to the gate of Jerusalem. What does Jerusalem mean? Jerusalem means peace. Peace. Okay? So you see what he's done there. So very cleverly, he's described what's going to happen to all these towns in Judah. And it won't be a pretty sight. And again, he's not happy about it. He's delivering the word, but he's very much in mourning. And another thing they would do in mourning is to make themselves bald. They got cut off all their hair. Notice verse 16. Make yourself bald and cut off your hair because of your precious children. Enlarge your baldness like an eagle, for they shall go from you into captivity. Just like in the northern kingdom, they were going to go into exile. They were going to be taken captive. And this does happen. It just happens under the time of Babylon. Not now, but 150 years later. All right, let's go on to chapter 2. Here he's going to name the sins of Judah, the things they've done wrong. Okay. Starts out by saying, woe to those who devise iniquity, who work out evil on their beds. At morning light, they practice it, because it's in the power of their hand. They covet fields, take them by violence. Also houses, and seize them. So they oppress a man in his house, a man in his inheritance. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, against this family I am devising disaster, from which you cannot remove your necks, nor shall you walk haughtily. Haughtily. I can't pronounce that. Haughtily. Okay. Well, you can't walk proudly, arrogantly, is what he's saying. For this is an evil time. As that day one shall take up a proverb against you and lament with a bitter lamentation, saying, we are utterly destroyed. He has changed the heritage of my people. How has he removed it from me to a turncoat? He has divided our fields. Okay. All right, let's stop there at the end of verse 4. What were the rich people doing? What were they plotting at nighttime? Evil, okay, in what way? Pardon me? Yes, how to take more. Yeah. How can we get more from the poor? How can we take from those who are less fortunate? How can I take over their land? How can I get their houses, I believe it said. Okay. And so they lie awake at night thinking about this. And then the next day, what would happen? They carried it out. They made it happen, didn't they? How did they make it happen? They had the riches, didn't they? They controlled the judges. They controlled the judges. They had the money to pay others to do it, and so they did it. They took from the poor. Okay. Yes, Jim?
By virtue of the fact that we fall prey to the same things that come
You're very much correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, Larry.
I think we really need to take a lesson from this. And, you know, Micah didn't want to tell the people all the things they were doing wrong. It was hard for him to do that. It's hard for us to do that today. You know, we've got a lot of friends who were, that we just hate to bring up some subjects we know we've been touching with. But in reading this, if we don't do it, destruction is the only thing to say.
Yes, Donnell. Yes, very much so. He was predicting that they would go into captivity. And today, if we don't follow the Lord, if we don't heed the Lord, we could be in trouble. Our future could be in trouble. Maybe not this generation, but future generations could be in trouble. Yes, very much so. I guess it was Jim has talked about the remnant. Micah does say talk about remnant here in just a little bit. We'll get to that. Okay. All right, so the rich were mistreating the poor. Micah told them that they were going to face punishment. Now let's go to verse 6 and 7. Do not proud of you, say to those who prophesize. What does proud mean, by the way, before we go further? What is proud? Anybody have a different version that says something? Okay. I was thinking the NIV said chatter. Or rabble or babble. Okay, means the same thing. Prattle means to rabble or babble on, speak on. Okay. So he says, do not prattle, you say to those who prophesy. Okay. So they shall not prophesy to you. They shall not return insult to it for insult. You who are named the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord restricted? Are those his doing? Do not my words do good to him who walks uprightly? Okay, so what's happening here is the true prophets, like Micah, were being told not to prophesy. Okay, don't speak the truth. They were being told that. And who was telling them that? The false prophets, the false teachers. Okay, you can see that in 6 and 7. Verse 7, Micah responds, and he responds to them. You are saying that you're telling us not to speak. But we must speak, and it is for your good. The good will still come out for those who are upright. Okay. A little hard to follow, but that's essentially what's happening. Okay. They were telling him, don't prophesy. He responds, we must, and it's for your own good. Okay. Yeah, David. thought no harm could come to them because they were of the of Jacob's descendants.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what was going on. They were saying, we are Jacob's descendants, so nothing's going to harm us. It's all going to turn out good. You can prophesize all you want. You can preach the truth. You know, what you think is the truth, but no harm is going to come our way. That was their thought. Okay, verses 8 and 9, it talks about how they mistreated women and children. Go on to verse 10 and 11. And again, this is Micah speaking here. He says, "Arise and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is defiled. It shall destroy, yes, with utter destruction. If a man should walk in a false spirit and speak a lie, saying, 'I will prophesy to you of wine and drink,' even he would be the prowler of this people." Okay. So what is Micah telling him in verse 10? Exactly. Yeah. They only wanted to hear what they were willing to hear, what they wanted to hear. Yeah. Okay. And Micah says, this is not going to be where you end up resting. Not going to be your place of peace. Not going to happen that way. Those who were speaking for wine and drink, they were false prophets. They were doing it for money. For wine and drink. And as David said, the people only listened to them because they told them what they wanted to hear. Okay. All right, let's go on to 12 and 13. This is Micah's first messianic message. This is where he first proclaims the Messiah. And you'll be able to see how we know that. "I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather you, gather the remnant of Israel." Notice that, the remnant of Israel. "I will put them together like sheep of the fold, like a flock in the midst of the pasture. They shall make a loud noise because of so many people. The one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. Their king will pass before them with the Lord at their head." Okay. All that is about Christ, isn't it? Coming of the Messiah. Micah may not have known what he was speaking about, but we know today that he was speaking of the Lord. Speaking of the coming of the Messiah. Okay. And also he says, "I will surely gather the remnant." So only a few would be left and live after Babylon. Okay. All right, we got 5 minutes. So let's look at chapter 3. I wanted to get to chapter 3. The very first four verses of chapter 3 are really interesting. Listen to what he says here. He's going to go back to condemning the rich rulers and the kings and judges, false prophets, and so forth. He says, And I said, hear now, O heads of Jacob, the ruling people, and you rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice? You who hate good and love evil, who strip the skin from the people and the flesh from the bones, who also eat the flesh of my people, flay their skin from them, break their bones and chop them in pieces, like meat for the pot, like flesh in the cauldron. Then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, because they have been evil in their deeds. Okay. All right, he's talking about the rulers. He's talking to the rulers there, isn't he? Kings, judges, the princes, okay. All those who had the money. Okay. And what is he saying to them? They should have known justice, shouldn't they? Look at these passages from Deuteronomy. Moses had said this to him. For the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and widow, loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Okay. All right, these rich rulers, kings, judges, they should have known that, shouldn't they? It was in God's word, God's law. Look at Deuteronomy 16. You shall appoint judges and officers in all your gates, which the Lord your God gives you, according to your tribes. And they shall judge the people with just judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe. For bribe blinds the eyes of the wise, twists the words of the righteous. You shall follow what is altogether just, that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Okay, those two passages were in Moses' law. The kings, the rulers in the time of Micah, they should have known them. They should have followed them. But they did not. Did not. Okay, Micah speaks of them. Let's go back to Micah now. And he speaks of them like they were cannibals. Why did he talk to them about like that? You flay the skin. You break the bones. Why does he refer to them like they were cannibals?
Because then they were feeding off of the those that they were oppressing, because they were perverting justice and kind of converting things in the direction that they were to.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They were so mistreating them, though it was like as if they were eating away their flesh, because they would have nothing left, really. All their nourishment was being taken away. All their means of making a living was being taken away. So perverting the poor. So Micah speaks of them as being like cannibals. Should have known better, but they did. All right, we'll continue on with this. This is good stuff right here in chapter 3. We'll continue on with it next week.